USA, another cop killing of unarmed black man sparks widespread protests. Uprising of the oppressed. Tens of thousands of protesters have taken to the streets of dozens of US cities and internationally, following the brutal murder in Minneapolis of unarmed black man George Floyd by a white cop. Only after this anger erupted, did local prosecutors charge sacked policeman Derek Chauvin with third-degree murder and manslaughter. The uprisings by oppressed communities, including many young people, is more intense and widespread than protests following the killing of black 18-year-old Michael Brown by a white cop in Ferguson in 2014. Indeed, commentators have likened today's protests to the uprisings which occurred after the assassination of black civil rights leader Martin Luther King in 1968. To many Americans, nothing has changed since 2014 to address racism and discrimination in law enforcement and the broader system of governance. The current outpouring of anger over systemic racism has now morphed into an inchoate movement against the widening and persistent inequality and oppression, exacerbated by the pandemic, inherent in the capitalist system. J. Chavis and Nicholas Wurst from the Independent Socialist Group, US, co-thinkers of the Socialist Party in England and Wales, explain in the following article why the political establishment and the profit system it represents cannot end racism and exploitation, and why building a powerful working class movement with socialist policies is the only way forward. On the 25th of May, police in Minneapolis choked George Floyd, an unarmed black man, who subsequently died. His death was disturbingly reminiscent of the NYPD killing of Eric Garner in 2014. A released video recorded by bystanders shows Floyd repeatedly pleading, "I can't breathe," as Officer Derek Chauvin crushes his neck for nearly 10 minutes. Floyd's death ignited days of major protests in Minneapolis, which, at the time of writing, are continuing. Police escalated the conflict by firing rubber bullets, flashbangs, and tear gas to disperse initially peaceful protesters. Trump tweeted in favor of the military firing on protesters, stating, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." This violent response to unarmed protesters stands in stark contrast to the hands-off and non-confrontational pattern of police response to heavily armed and predominantly white reopened protesters. Chauvin is not an isolated bad apple, he is part of a corrupt and racist system. And the Democratic Party politicians who run Minneapolis have failed to take meaningful action against police brutality and mass incarceration for years. Democratic vice presidential hopeful Amy Klobuchar was the chief prosecutor of Hennepin County, which includes Minneapolis, for an 8-year period. During her tenure, she failed to press criminal charges against any of the officers involved in 29 civilian deaths, and instead chose to prioritize a tough-on-crime stance to shore up support among more conservative Minneapolis residents. George Floyd's death comes after recent high-profile killings of black people by police and right-wing forces. Breonna Taylor, an unarmed black woman and emergency medical technician, was shot dead in Kentucky on the 13th of March by police who entered her apartment in a no-knock raid. Ahmaud Arbery, an unarmed black man, was killed while jogging in Georgia on the 23rd of February by two white men, one of whom was a former cop. This murder was swept under the rug for over 2 months until video evidence of the lynching came to light. After the acquittal of George Zimmerman, who shot dead black teenager Trayvon Martin in 2012, a movement under the hashtag Black Lives Matter, BLM, emerged on social media. BLM became nationally relevant, with an active on-the-ground presence after the 2014 killings of Michael Brown and Eric Garner sparked huge protests and riots calling for an end to police brutality and racist policing. A national network was formed. But without a common program or organizational structures for discussing and debating, the movement died down by 2017. Civil rights and BLM. It is crucial that BLM, or any new banners that may emerge in the current moment, apply the lessons of the civil rights movement and BLM's own recent history. The 1960s civil rights movement made the crucial mistake of relying on the Democratic Party, turning the movement in the streets, which won huge gains, into a surge in the polls that elected Democrats to power. These same Democrats later betrayed the movement. This experience led both Martin Luther King Jr. and radical black nationalist Malcolm X to the conclusion that fighting against racism requires fighting against capitalism. Today, most major cities, including city police departments and district attorney offices, are controlled by Democrats, whose racial justice rhetoric is often contradicted by their actions in office. Many leading Democratic Party politicians have histories of racist policymaking. Hillary Clinton was an architect of the 1994 crime bill that expanded racist policing and facilitated modern mass incarceration. Presidential hopeful Biden actively opposed desegregation of schools and was an ardent supporter of Clinton's 1994 crime bill. During his 8 years as president, Barack Obama failed to put forward any meaningful reforms to the criminal justice system. Despite all of this, element of BLM still endorsed Hillary Clinton in 2016. The racist policies implemented by the Democratic Party set the stage for the tough-on-crime rhetoric that Trump relies on today to support his racist policies and shore up his conservative base. Trump and the Republicans have set a racist tone in their propaganda, and by pushing mass incarceration, police brutality, and anti-immigrant racism through expanding brutal ICE, immigration, and customs enforcement, raids, and mass imprisoning of immigrants. Both parties use appeals to racism, more or less well concealed, to play on, and play up, the racial fears of many white voters. In reality, racism doesn't benefit white workers. The capitalists secure their huge profits by convincing working class people to fight among themselves, whether through racism, sexism, or any other form of bigotry. By blaming white, black, immigrant, male, or female workers for each other's problems, the capitalists can continue to exploit us, drive down wages, privatize public services, and lower living standards. As Malcolm X famously declared, "You can't have capitalism without racism." Capitalism is a system built off the backs of slaves and the genocide of indigenous peoples. It will not end racism of its own accord. We need a new party run by and for working people, free of corporate influence, that can dedicate itself to fighting against all forms of bigotry and against capitalist exploitation. Such a party could help build a fighting anti-racist movement out of the recent protests. To win, the movement must put forward a bold program that challenges the racist foundations of capitalism and unites the working class by fighting for the gains we all need: a living minimum wage, affordable housing, universal healthcare, an end to discrimination and violence. It needs democratic structures where members can debate, decide, and hold the movement and its representatives accountable. The Movement for Black Lives, M4BL, has taken steps in the right direction by putting forward a concrete program. But without challenging the profit system, any gains won by M4BL will be rolled back by the capitalists. The struggle against systemic racism can only be won for good by fighting for a new socialist world. Explosion of anger. The recent riots are an explosion of anger at all of the problems and violence that people of color face. The edges of this anger have been sharpened by the disproportionate impact of the recent economic and health crisis. While riots are not an effective response to oppression, Martin Luther King described their nature well: "I think that we've got to see that a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the economic plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity." The outrage displayed in these riots can be organized into a powerful movement if given structure and a program to unite behind. Looting and vandalism undercut the movement and are used to justify violent responses from the capitalists and police. But the capitalist class is guilty of a far greater crime: controlling access to basic needs for profit. With an organized movement involving the unions and a workers' party, we can redistribute housing, food, and basic needs by nationalizing key industries and fully funding social programs. The pandemic has put on full display the fact that workers are essential in making society run. This means we also have the power to shut down capitalism and rebuild a society that puts people's well-being before profits. The first step is to involve the organized working class in anti-racist struggle. Unionized workers should pass resolutions in support of the movement, as ATA Local 1005 has done in many polis, and organize anti-racist protests, rallies, occupations, and strikes. People of all races who are seriously prepared to support the struggle against racism should be included in the organizing and planning of the anti-racist movement. The independent socialist group demands charge all officers involved in the death of George Floyd for murder. End racial profiling and stop and frisk policies and fire racist police officers. Community control of the police through democratically elected committees of workers and community members with hiring and firing power, the ability to review and create policy and authority to conduct independent investigations into cases of police misconduct. Demilitarize the police. Stop wasting public funds on military technology and weaponry for police departments. Invest instead in affordable housing, universal healthcare, public transit, public schools, green jobs, and other social programs and services. The independent socialist group calls for an organized anti-racist movement and a fighting program to sustain the struggle against police brutality and other forms of systemic racism. For democratic structures to discuss and debate strategy and tactics. Coordination with and involvement of unions in anti-racist struggles. Solidarity against racism and all forms of oppression must be a key point of struggle for the whole workers' movement. Organization of coordinated protests, occupations, and strikes, defending against police aggression when necessary, but avoiding ineffective looting and vandalism. We should give our anger at the systemic violence committed by the police an organized and effective expression, based on the best tactics that encourage maximum participation. Unity of workers of all races in the struggle against capitalism and the racist inequality and violence that the system was founded upon. For international solidarity against discrimination and imperialism, and for socialist solidarity. Fact box curfews in 25 cities. National Guard deployed in 12 states. Donald Trump says he'll deploy the military to quell demonstrations. Trump blames left-wingers for violence, calls protesters thugs, and threatens to unleash vicious dogs and use ominous weapons against them. Also, Trump also threateningly invoked the phrase, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts," which originated from reactionary Miami police chief Walter Headley in the 1960s. Police indiscriminately fired tear gas and rubber bullets at largely peaceful protests. Cops deliberately drive SUVs into crowd of peaceful New York City demonstrators. Thousands of demonstrators have been arrested, and reporters targeted and attacked and by police. Many Palos Latino residents who barricaded their neighborhoods against looting have also been attacked by police. Meanwhile, a small number of police have expressed support for the demonstrations, with some even joining the protests.